Rock.
What?
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot Route.
I don't. What is Hot Route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down.
Come on.
Ready. Down. Set. Hut. 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 Hut.
Hit me. Booyah. That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew, Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
Okay, welcome back. It is the Eskridge Lexus postgame show. Carrie Murdoch, Eddie Radosovich here with you on this victorious Saturday. We're back to celebrating victories and talking about victories. So that's very good after last week and what we went through with the Baylor game. But Sooners win it today, 28-21. Eddie, they don't know any other way to win, it appears. They look like that they were going to distance themselves as they run it right down Iowa State's throat with about 5 minutes left. Then all of a sudden, somehow Iowa State has the ball with a chance to tie or possibly win in the final closing seconds. And that, my friend, is Oklahoma football, except for one little thing. The offense kind of sucks now. I don't know what happened, but the offense is terrible.
Kind of is what it is. Kind of is what it is, Kerry. I mean, I told a couple people before the game started, it's like, if we know one thing about this this team, it's that we don't know anything. So I guess that's kind of makes it from an entertainment standpoint. You don't really know what you're going to sign up for or what you're signing up for or what you're jumping into, but it kind of is what it is. It's like, they're just going to win ugly. It might be the worst 10-1 team in the country, but Lincoln Riley would tell you after the game that, I think there's a lot of other teams around the country that want to be 10-1. So I thought it was, I got a kick out of it. Like he just won't admit that this team is kind of shitty in some points, but it is what it is it not? Like there is no other side of it. I mean, they win extremely ugly football games and it just kind of, that's where they're at. And
it's not, I mean, look, this program has an identity crisis. I mean, how many different personalities have they had as a team so far this year? Now it looks like the only thing that this team can do is play defense. And 3 weeks ago, you wondered if they were ever going to, if they were as bad as it ever was in the Mike Stoops era.
Yeah. And I mean, defensively, I thought they played with a pretty good presence.
The defense
about
won the game. They scored a touchdown on defense. Like, without that, physical, they don't win this game today.
I mean, I think you could probably count on, maybe one hand and maybe use a couple fingers from the other hand to count the missed tackles, which I didn't think was bad today. But offensively, does it come down to they just...
Are they hiding an injury for Caleb Williams in a shoulder or something? Like,
well, if they are,
what the hell is going on with him? Like, what
I don't know.
Happened? Where did Caleb Williams go?
I think he's a freshman, man. I just like that's the only thing that I can fall back
factually
on.
Factually accurate, Eddie. He is a freshman.
It is. That's the only thing that we can say about it, because the way that sometimes it feels like he holds onto the ball. I mean, the 75-yard run was great in the first quarter.
He's turned into Spencer Rattler all of a sudden, where it looks like he's afraid to throw the ball and that no one is ever open. Like when he came into the game for Spencer Rattler, it looked like everything opened up and it was like, oh, I throw to this guy, throw to that guy, I'll throw it up here. I don't know. Maybe the interceptions have freaked him out a little bit. Maybe he's pressing. Maybe he's trying to be a little too careful.
Sure.
Maybe, Lincoln Riley needs to change his approach with his quarterbacks, because right now he's got two quarterbacks that one got replaced by the other, and the other that replaced him, it looks so good, is now looking like the one that he replaced and the reason that he replaced him.
Yeah, I will say that, I think that Baylor and Iowa State probably disguise some things. They're good defensively. How much of that is him just not taking chances? It seems like there's some plays that he sits back there and just pats the ball for, 3 or 4 seconds. And it's like, You can. It's one of those that when you're in the stadium,
the end zone play when he got sacked in the end zone and fumbled the ball, like you had to know to you had no time to get rid of the ball. Like you had to get it out of there.
You got to throw the ball. I don't know. I guess the other side of that is like the good news is it looked like they found a little bit of something in the run game, but then they just completely go away from it, like they did in the.
Well,
the
they
third
got
quarter.
They got. I mean, the last drive was pitiful. I mean, Caleb Williams starts out getting sacked, which he kept a read play, a mesh play. He keeps it, and it was just the wrong decision. I don't think either person was going anywhere, but loses 5 yards. Then they lose another yard on the next play, handing it off to Kennedy Brooks, and then it was just, you know, trash time until we can punt the ball away. But before that series, that was when they ran it like 8 times and with Eric Gray and Kennedy Brooks, and they just ran it right down Iowa State's throat.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the reality. We're talking about an Oklahoma offense that had less than 100 yards passing today.
God,
I mean,
that's unbelievable.
Caleb Williams was 8 for 18 with 87 yards. He wasn't even close to 90 yards. I mean, I guess not even. I guess good note is that they almost got to 100 because Spencer Rattler came in when his helmet got knocked off. I don't know, man. I don't know. You know who their leading receiver today was? You'll love this. Marvin Mims. One reception, 22 yards. One reception, 22 yards. I don't know. I don't know, man. It's just, it's insane to me. It's insane to me. Like, and some of the play calling is just strange to say the least. I don't know.
There were several times where just it was clear. Why does it happen against West Virginia? It happened today again. It's like when they get these umbrella zone coverages, they can't get open as receivers. Like there's something going on. Like, do they have a way of practicing against this? Do they have a way of learning how to settle down into zones and get open? Like, it just doesn't seem, or does everyone, I mean, Drake Stoops was out today, probably, you know, still suffering from that shot he took a week ago. You know, he's a guy that can kind of be a zone buster at times, so maybe not having him hurt, but we never saw Theo Weiss, even though he warmed up.
Yeah,
so
he
that's
warmed up.
Maybe at least a good sign for the future.
But here's the thing, Kerry. It's like, sure, the umbrella, and it presents problems for guys to throw the football. Donovan Smith's a freshman. He threw for 322 yards last week against Iowa State. He was 25 of 32.
Maybe that's the key, just having a freshman. Chandler Morris, TCU. I mean, when he tore up Baylor before OU played him.
I just don't get it. I don't get what Caleb Williams isn't seeing. And it's not getting any easier. I mean, next week's going to be
– how are they going to score next week? It might be the most Big Ten football game the Big 12 has ever played next week.
Well, that's the only way that OU's going to be able to win a football game next week. I mean – we'll get to
they need
when,
two scores from their can. Defense be, if they're going to win next
positive?
Week.
Can we be positive? They did play well defensively.
They were fantastic.
The Charlie Kohler show in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean,
like that's the other reality. That's the other reality. Iowa State is two or three plays away from probably winning that football game because I have no doubt in my mind if they score a touchdown at the end of the game, they're going for two. And they're going to throw it to Chase Allen or they're going to throw it to Charlie Kohler.
I thought the same. I think everybody felt the same.
You have to. Yeah. You have to. If you're Matt Campbell, you have. Gary, they were going for it. They went for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 19-yard line today in like the third quarter. Or was that the second quarter? It was the second quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, is that not the most disrespectful thing that you've ever seen from a – from a team to a defense?
It's almost like Matt Campbell said something this week that made him play a lot more aggressive this weekend to prove to people that he wasn't a pussy.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there like $225,000 on the line for him with a win today?
I didn't realize that. I didn't know he had a contract bonus.
I think he got like an incentive spike.
Hmm. By the way, speaking of fourth downs, I don't know. I was back and forth between players and coaches. So I don't know everything that Riley addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Did he talk about the fake punt?
No. Didn't come up one time.
Good Lord.
In fact, this will infuriate a lot of people. He talked about how well they played on special teams today.
Don't do that.
Particularly the punting, which I will say.
Oh, Michael Turk, you were fantastic.
Michael Turk was great. Trevon West making the tackle in the fourth quarter on the final one.
But here's the problem.
Saved the game.
Here's the problem. Other than Gabe Berkich missing field goals and a muff punt that was recovered by OU, the individuals did a good job. I mean, kickoffs, nothing went out of bounds. You missed a 25-yard field goal. Unbelievable.
You don't get bonus points for not kicking the ball out of bounds.
Here's my point. Yeah, well, I don't. Yeah, okay. Here's my point. The biggest screw up of the day was a coaching mistake. Not being ready and being that susceptible to a fake punt, that's on the coaches.
There was nobody within 25 yards of Mevis.
I think he came pretty close to just completely running all the way into the end zone without anybody noticing.
I mean, everybody was bailing. Everybody bailed to go set up the return.
They don't
return the kicks anyway.
No!
So what are you setting up?
That's what everybody was upset about online while I was running the Twitter account. They're like,
really?
We don't even return punts, so why is everyone bailing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I mean, that's one of those things where you have allowed things to slip to a degree that is unacceptable to be a coaching staff at the University of Oklahoma.
They're really missing Beamer.
They have got to take a look at what they're... I mean, and the fans, I know, and I get it. Like, everything is a fair catch on the kickoff, and I'm sure that has to do some with analytics and some just being the most violent, you know, play in football is a kickoff return and limiting injuries. That's probably analytics. Just a bad look, man. And it always has been. And always, the fans will not get it. They don't understand it.
Well, I think that, like, even with the win today, it's like, it's another one possession victory in which you have your defense out there having to save your ass on the field. And then Riley comes in and I'm not going to say that, like, he doesn't get it, because he obviously, like, it's just so strange to be critical of this, and
he
especially
bristles,
on a day when
he bristles.
He ties Bob Stoops for most victories in first 5 years as head coach. But at the same time, you can't honestly sit there and say that everything is perfect when every person that has watched this team play sees the shit show at times.
This is the biggest disconnect between Lincoln and the fans that there has ever been, which is the fans just want you to admit that you should be playing better than you are.
Yeah.
And Lincoln just wants to tell people, tough shit, we're winning.
It's a little bit of a battle.
Yes.
And you get away with it when you're 10-1. But
then you lose to Baylor, and, like, yes, I give Lincoln credit. He went to the Bob Stoops school of losses. Like, when they lose, he handles it with a great amount of care and class, and he's very respectful to people that want to ask tough questions. But he bristles so much at any kind of criticism when he wins. It's just like the press conference that one day. It was like he stopped in the middle to say, you guys know we're 6-0, right?
The problem with that, too, is they're, you know.
You're the ones that put the standard out there all the time.
Sure. Well, and what I was going to say is, like, Kerry, they're less than 10 plays away from this thing being, you know, they're 10-1. They're less than probably 10 plays away from being, I don't know, like 4-7 in the same spot as Texas right now. I know that's dramatic, but that's a little bit of the truth at the same time.
Yeah, but they're not, though. I mean, that's the thing.
I know. And you can't really play that game. I know you hate the hypotheticals, but.
But if you go, I mean, look, you go play in Bedlam, let's say Mike Gundy pees down
his
leg
once
again.
They get embarrassed next week, I feel like, then go have a solid
I just don't know how they're going to score on that defense.
I know.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, I don't know what's going on in the Baylor game right now. I know they turned it over and they were down less than the score.
As we're recording right now, Kansas State's driving, but they're down 20-10 under 11 minutes left.
Okay. But like if Baylor lost that game, they're out of the Big 12.
Yeah, if Baylor were to find a way to lose this in the last 10 minutes, all of a sudden it's Bedlam back-to-back no matter what.
Who did Baylor finish with?
Tech.
Oh, that's right. That's the other that kind of became the replacement for T plus one
for yeah.
Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Texas A&M. Look, I think you should feel good that they beat Iowa State today. They're not as bad as we thought coming out of Baylor, especially on defense. And I think we thought that they were okay on defense, but they were. I mean, it's just like, come on, Lincoln. Like, did you see the time of possession difference out there? Like, I don't know how that defense survived today.
Yeah.
They got put in even worse a position than they were against Baylor last year. Last week.
Don't forget, too, that Iowa State did some things offensively. And also, don't forget that Iowa State, this is how bad it was. Jalen Redmond has the touchdown return before halftime to give him the lead, 14-7, which was an incredible play. But at the same time, I mean, you have Iowa State's backup playing quite a bit there in the third quarter. Hunter Deckers, never heard of the guy. Then Purdy comes back in, and once he did, they started moving the ball again.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and the troubling thing is the same play over and over.
Throwing it to Kolar in the middle. And the other thing about it, too, is the fact that you look at, Iowa State there in the first half before the Jalen Redmond fumble return, they had moved the ball down to the OU 25-ish yard line, and then they had lineman downfield? The reverse pass that they ended up bringing back because
pass.
It was an illegal play.
Yeah, it was a double pass.
I mean, that pushes them all the way back to the 40-yard line. So, I don't know.
The biggest momentum-changing play was the fake punt.
Yeah.
I mean, they were...
because that was out of the point where you had finally gotten off the field, another third down in which you found a way to get off the field, you forced the punt, you're up 14, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, here they come again.
But it's always something so stupid, just like the Perry on Winfrey penalty, they would have been off the field.
Dude, what? Like, and credit to him, incredible play on the big hit. I thought Brock Purdy was dead. I'm really surprised that it didn't get reviewed. I'm surprised it didn't get targeting.
Well, the whole thing that they were talking about in the booth is that that Brock Purdy was not a defenseless player on that play.
Okay, because he turned back into it.
Yeah, he was actively
making a play.
Yeah, I mean, and he really did hit him with his shoulder. You know, it's just like last year when their safety got kicked out of the Big 12 championship game,
mm-hmm.
he hit Drake Stoops with his shoulder, but it was targeted at his head, or it ended up being
because he was
head.
Going over the middle.
Yeah,
yeah. It just isn't that kind of the story of the year, though. Just the way that once it seems like one side of the football gets rolling, the other one just stalls, whether it be offense, defense, or defense, offense, or even special teams. You finally, put a good drive together. It's like last week last week in Waco, you finally put a good drive together. And then all of a sudden you miss a 40-yard field goal. Today it was missing a 24-yard field goal when you were able to give yourself a lead. And really almost kind of cost them. I mean, they should have been up 10.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be sweating that fourth quarter drive, because even if you give up a touchdown, you're still up.
Yeah,
it's frustrating. It has to be frustrating for them as the coaching staff, because they just can't get everybody on the same page. And I guess we should note, too, that, Riley talked about it in the post-game. It sounds like the flu was just ravaging the locker room this week. I mean, he said at one point, they had 20, 30 guys. It was like hard to practice almost, is kind of how he made it out to be.
So I think Gabe said they were down like 20 guys one day at practice.
Well, I mean, I guess it's good to get it through now. Then I guess next week. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's any way that I can pick OU to go up there and win.
No, I don't think I will either.
It'd almost be malpractice if I did.
I mean, the offense is just shockingly bad. And I know people are going to talk about, oh, Lincoln Riley's lost and he needs to turn over the reins to someone else. And that's a valid, you know.
It's more valid than it's ever been.
It's more valid than it's ever been. But still, something else is going on, man. I mean, I give Lincoln Riley credit today. Today is the first time I've ever really felt like all year, like, even in the Texas game when Kennedy Brooks was running all over the place, it's the first time against a legitimate team where I've actually thought, okay, the offensive line is starting to figure some stuff out. Then Andrew Rame gets his knee caved in. Well, I mean, Andrew Rame got his knee caved in. I think that's watching on TV, Eddie. It was bad. It was like it wasn't like Willis McGahee bad, but it was it was bad. I mean, as bad as it can get. Yeah, I would be shocked if we see him back this year.
I was going to say, the good news on that is after the Eric Gray touchdown run, you might be able to see in the video I got, Rame's one of the first people out there, and he seemed to be in pretty good spirits. Now, what does that mean, that he can play football? I have no idea. But he was on the sidelines moving around, not like basically, not with a brace on his knee to where he couldn't move, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I was told it was heavily wrapped.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was like ice on it or what, but
yeah,
it was just ugly. It was terrible. I mean, it was bad. And you know what? Amazing play by Anton Harrison to pick up the ball in the end zone.
Oh,
and get out.
I mean, that's one of those kind of game saving plays, is it not? If Iowa State picks that up, who knows what happens?
And by the way, we don't know his status
either.
Because
that's when it was still 7-7, or I mean, 14-7.
Right.
It just is frustrating in a way that, like, I'm way past the point of thinking that they're going to be able to turn this thing on. I mean, they have one game left in the regular season. I mean, the joke's kind of on us.
And they're playing the best defense that they're going to face all year.
Sure. I don't know.
I will say this. I mean, crazy. Iowa State's lost 5 games now this year. And the reason why is their offensive line just isn't that good. I mean, they got Brock Purdy. I think they made Brock Purdy quit for a while today. I think he just went back to the locker room to reassess whether he wanted to keep playing football or not.
What was the number out there? They had given up 12 sacks going into today, and they give up 7?
Isaiah Thomas just has their number.
OU's defensive line played really well today. I mean, Perry Winfrey played really well. Isaiah Thomas at times was dominant, which, I mean, the true definition of dominant, it felt like he was all over the field. Jalen Redmond, probably his best game of the year, which is kind of good news. It's wild. I saw Eric Bailey note this after the game. Redmond's been in Norman for 4 years. This will be his first Bedlam coming up next weekend.
That's crazy.
But didn't you think that was probably
DeLarian Turner best game? Yale had a great game today as well. And I mean, apparently DJ Graham left with a groin, which has been his issue this whole time. Yeah.
He came back out in the second half and was in street clothes. He wasn't even dressed out.
Yeah, and I think he heard it on the play where the guy went over the top of him.
Yeah.
On the near the sideline.
Yep. I know exactly.
And I'll say this, the strip that they took forever to review, I still have no clue how that was the call. Because how is it last year that the guy strips Kennedy Brooks from out of bounds from Kansas? And that was a question I asked Lincoln Riley after the game. Like, how, if the player who strips the ball is clearly out of bounds, how is the ball not out of bounds? And he had no answer. But yet today they use the reverse rule that because his foot was out of bounds when he was stripping it, that meant the ball was out of bounds?
Yeah.
What the f*** are we doing?
I tweeted it today, and it's probably not the most popular take, but a good way to avoid that is don't allow them to complete a pass on 3rd and 18.
They didn't complete a pass. I still say it was incomplete. He got it out of that. I mean, like OU's defensive backs have been really good at that this year, better than ever before.
Well,
and like Key Lawrence is a natural at it.
DJ had the same play last week. That it was right before the Brian Osamo forced fumble, and you thought that they were going to turn some momentum out of that. And you know, it went against them today. It was a good play. Anywhere else on the field, that ends up being a fumble. By the way that they ruled that, right?
Yeah.
Like, if that's on the 40-yard line or the, you know, midfield or something.
I mean, he fumbled it through the end zone. It should have been a touchback if it was anything. Yeah. And actually, it should have been an incompletion because it wasn't a completion of a catch.
Sure. I can go either way on that.
And Mike Pereira, whoever it was, he was like, look, this is one of those rare instances where if you look at this in real time, that's an incomplete pass. He said, but because you have the hindsight of slowing it down frame by frame, 120 frames per second or whatever.
Sure.
It looks like the play is taking a lot longer than it actually is to complete. It was just, out of all the calls, I thought it was either fumble out of the end zone or incomplete. I never saw it going in the direction of, oh, the player touched it when he was out of bounds as he was stripping it. So the ball is out of bounds there.
Still converted a 3rd and 18, though.
No, they didn't. It was an incomplete pass. Sticking to my guns on that.
They gave him 7 points for it.
Well, the next play they did.
Well, yeah, technically true. It just, I don't know.
And the other thing is,
I look at it glass half full on that. It's like you still gave up a, and it was a good ball. I mean, Purdy put it in the right spot. So early in the game, it doesn't really have any effect on the outcome. But at the same time, it's just, it was one of the, like, that was at the height of, oh my God, they didn't show up. Iowa State not only won the toss, but they took the ball, and then they just insulted your manhood by going straight
for it on fourth down. And
yeah, just going straight down the field.
I mean, look, you look at the stats, like, what's the thing you always worry about most with Iowa State, other than Charlie Kohler? It's Breece Hall and Xavier Hutchinson. Like, he was phenomenal in the Big 12 championship game last year. And I said it. I think I said it on the unofficial 40. Like, this defense wants no part of Xavier Hutchinson at that point in the season. That was after the we talked about that. That was after the TCU game with the the Johnston guy. Quentin Johnston.
Quentin Johnston, yeah.
I was like, if Quentin Johnston does that to the secondary, Xavier Hutchinson's going to have like 200 yards receiving.
Sure.
His day-to-day, 10 catch, or Xavier Hutchinson, he actually ran it 10 times today. Is that right? No.
No, that's not right.
That's yardage. He got 10 yards.
Xavier Hutchinson had one carry, 10 yards, 7 receptions, 48 yards.
And he was targeted 12 times, which is impressive.
He had 77 yards total.
Like, Kohler was targeted 14 times. He had 12 catches.
He had 58 yards of total offense.
And Breece Hall was even worse. I mean,
Breece Hall had 58
yards on 19 carries.
Yeah.
I mean, 3.1 yard.
3.1 a carry?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Live with that.
And look at Kennedy Brooks' yard per carry. 6.8.
6.8. Caleb Williams, 5.6. Eric Gray, 5.8. I mean, OU ran the ball well, but it's just frustrating, especially in the third quarter. I thought it was a perfect example of, the second quarter when Berkich missed his field goal. It's like you kind of ride Kennedy Brooks all the way down there, and then you get in the red zone, and you just kind of disappear. I don't know. It's like they had Jaden Hazelwood on the fade, which I don't know. I kind of hate the play call on third down like that. It just, if it works, I guess it ends up looking great. I don't know. There's just a lot of questionable decisions coming from the sidelines, it seems like.
Well, and there's also some weird things where, like, you know, you're substituting on the defensive line 3 plays into the game. Like, explain that to me. Like, you take out Nick Benito and Isaiah Thomas 3 plays into the game.
I'll just say it. I think I'm done with the rotations. Like, that, it doesn't make sense. I think it gets guys out of rhythm. Okay, I'm going to say what I really think. I think it's fucking stupid.
I mean, it's, again, It's one of those analytics things. It's one of those, if guys play this many snaps, they'll give this much more production. But that's assuming that 1 and 2 and 3 are all equal. Now, I will say Marcus Stripling had a really great pass breakup guarding Breece Hall down the field today.
Great play. Great play.
But when it's third and seven,
fourth and eight, you have Nick Benito in a spy. He's your best pass. He's one of the best pass rushers in the country.
Well, the thing that sucks is he's spying, but he's also not dropping deep enough to affect throws over the middle to Charlie Kohler.
Sure.
So it's just like he's in no man's land.
Sure.
Like, what's the purpose of that?
I don't know, man. It just like it. And I guess, you know, like, I think the coaching staff would come back and say, well, look at the last play. It's Justin Broyles gets his hand tipped and Patrick Fields that comes up with the interception. And like, my response to that would be, maybe if you have some other guys in there, you're never even in that position. I just.
Well, and I know Josh was livid early that Key Lawrence has not been found a place to be in the starting lineup when Woody and DJ Graham are back. But ends up, he kind of loses the argument because DJ Graham gets hurt. And sure, if not for Key Lawrence, you're probably not even winning that game because you're not getting him knocking the ball out and Jalen Redmond running it back for a touchdown.
Sure. Big boy was moving, man.
Look good.
Jalen Redmond can move a little bit.
Getting closer to having to try that cheese on honey buns.
Oh, his snack or whatever?
Yeah, that he puts...
That's disgusting. I would never try that.
You wouldn't take just a bite? Just for...
I mean, I might take a bite.
For like YouTube fun?
No, that sounds like something that you would eat at... It sounds like something you would eat at like 3 o'clock in the morning after coming home from Campus Corner. It sounds like a meal that you can get at one of those fat sandwich places, which supposedly there's a new fat sandwich over on Campus Corner.
Really?
I don't think it's called Fat Sandwich, but it's the same idea. I think it's in the same building, Carrie, as what's the name of the place? The sub place that had
Jimmy John's?
Turkey Tuesdays. Damn it.
Not Pickleman's.
No.
On
Mr. Goodsense.
Mr. Goodsense. My God, it's been a long time since I've thought of that name.
Kind of the same, that same building. I think, in fact, in kind of the same area.
I was never a fan. I didn't need like mozzarella sticks and chicken breast and all that
shit. Oh, a fat sandwich?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of good at like 2:30 in the morning and you get it delivered to like the Fiji house and it doesn't get there until like 4 o'clock. So you pass out and it's just sitting there at your door when you wake up. It's kind of good.
I guess we'll find out when we start pulling late nighters at the office.
Sure. I had a couple people today said they were having a little get together over there at our neighbors above the office. Wanted to know if we were going to be over there.
Oh, tonight?
Yeah.
God.
But I, you know, I think that from a pure frustration standpoint, the fans are all over this one, and they have some legs to stand on. I mean, it's been frustrating to watch. There's points even today in the first half that's just like, I kind of hate watching this right now. It's like but at the same time, it was kind of fun to watch them play defense today. That was,
well, I think that's where the fans, I mean, that's the hardest thing for the fans is like, you wanted Lincoln Riley to make a change defense for so long, fix the defense. And then all of a sudden, your defense is actually starting to look decent. And all these guys have come back. Jalen Redmond, Woody Washington, DJ Graham. Who am I missing? Larry Turner Yell.
Yep. Like,
and holy shit, defense is actually good. And then the offense is nothing. Like, it's not even like, I mean, like, it's so bad. It's like 2001 Nate Hibble bad.
There's points where you go, and it sadly, it was kind of that final possession before Iowa State got the ball back. It's like,
I don't think they are going to move the ball because Iowa State knows you're going to run the ball. They're going to just load the box, and you're not going to be able to do much.
It's not like 2009 post-Sam Bradford bad yet. That was the year when no one could catch a damn ball. DeJuan Miller was the king of I can't catch.
Outside of, like, Broyles.
Broyles is the only guy on that team that could catch a football consistently. Because you had lost Gresham.
Is it kind of weird that they just... I mean, Hazelwood had a grab today. Mims has a grab today. They just don't have... Mario Williams had, like, that end around. Mike Woods had the drop over the middle. He had a nice grab on the sideline over on the east side, but they just don't. It doesn't seem like they have a bunch of guys. And I know that
is pass interference still in the rule book.
Pass interference?
Did they take that out? Did I miss that?
Was
memo?
There a pass interference that I missed today?
Yeah, the one on Mims early when he just got mugged.
Oh, on the
sideline near the OU bench
on OU sideline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the deep ball. It was kind of overthrown, though. Like, I could see if it would have been a little bit closer, maybe they call it, or maybe they throw a flag.
For one thing, the Baylor corner had a club on, and none of these guys are looking back and finding the football.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of people just running into a receiver, hoping that they break up the pass, and that's what they're doing. And I guess that's no longer a penalty.
I don't know, man. It's just...
I mean, I'm not trying to start ref bashing. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't...
You know, I know what you mean.
Awful.
I mean, it wasn't as egregious as last week against Mike Woods, yeah. But... I know what you mean. It just... It seems like they can't catch a break. Offensively, at least. On the offensive side of the football.
Well, we're at that point in the show where we're like, Lincoln, you got to figure it out. I don't know if he can. I mean, I don't know if he can.
Not this season.
I mean, their best hope right now is that they just played like shit against Baylor. And Iowa State and Oklahoma State just aren't as good as, you know, they appear to be. Because Iowa State's offensive line was terrible today.
Kind of sad that that's where this thing is, isn't it?
Like if OU wins the Big 12 championship this year, it's not on OU. Like,
instead of expanding, it's on you. Big 12 should shut down.
Yeah, the Big 12, this is officially on you if OU can't win this this year, or if they do win this this year.
I mean, in a sick, sad way, it's already on them that they haven't been able to knock OU out yet, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, oh. This is just, it's unwatchable, the offense right now. For a Lincoln Riley offense to play like this the last 2 weeks, I never thought I would see it. And I don't know that it was any worse with Spencer Rattler at any point this season.
I just can't put my finger on, it's almost like it's everything, it's all of the above. It's play calling. It's an offensive line that is still finding its way in the 11th game of the year, which is shocking. It's guys not making plays when the opportunity presents itself. It's a quarterback that's a freshman trying to maybe do a little too much almost. I don't know.
It's one of those things where, like, it doesn't take much to just completely unravel something that was working just fine. Like, you know, your car, you know, maybe it has a cable or something that goes bad and it causes something else to go bad, and all of a sudden you can't drive your car. It's like, you know, it's play calling. It's not allowing the offensive line to develop a physical attitude.
What do you make of, like, the play calling issue? What's going on there?
You know, Joe Klatt was talking a lot about that today.
I mean, that we're talking about a guy that was basically being hailed as the best play caller in the country 3 years ago, and now it's like there's some very questionable decisions being made.
And there was all this innovation and all this stuff. I mean, You know, the amount of yardage they were pick up and how quickly they would score and all that stuff. It's just gone. And it almost is like Lincoln's pressing too hard to have that explosive play all the time instead of just, okay, we're going to run it on first down. Like, that was Klatt's thing today. He was like, Lincoln needs to run the ball on first down because he throws it on first down. It's incomplete. He throws it on second down. It's a, you know, drop pass or incomplete, and it's third and long. And all of a sudden, you've never had any opportunity. Like, I would love to go back this year and see, like, how many times Lincoln Riley ran the ball after he got, like, no gain or to 2 yards on the play before running. Maybe it's Lincoln, maybe it's not Caleb Williams being too greedy. Maybe it's Lincoln Riley being too greedy. Because he's gotten used to 9 yards per play. I mean, that's like the standard that he set. Like, you make almost 10 yards a play. It's like he wants to get at least 10 yards a play. But, I mean, this is an Iowa State team that's given this offense, even with Baker Mayfield, as much trouble as anybody. And I think most of the people on that team were playing when Baker Mayfield was here.
Yeah, they were.
Mike Rose, is he an eighth-year senior?
God, I mean, there's some of those guys that Charlie Kohler, Chase Allen, you know, Greg Eisworth is still playing football at Iowa State. I honestly, I feel like I went down to the DFW area. What he was, he went to what's the high school? I can see it. It's like a 3-name high school. I'm gonna have to look it up now. I'm cheating, but. I remember going to Garland. Is it one of those South High School, South Garland, or one of those? Grand Prairie. God, I could not think of it.
South Grand Prairie.
South Grand Prairie. But I remember going down there with Josh, like a spring thing with him. And I feel like that was honestly 7 or 8 years ago. So there are a bunch of guys that are it just has to be disappointing down there for or up there in Ames. I mean, I can't.
Oh, I mean,
imagine.
Nobody's had a more disappointing, more. No one has fallen shorter of their season goals more than Iowa State has this year. I mean,
it's not
Florida.
Even
maybe Florida is the only thing that you could compare it to.
Maybe. And they got a coach that's, you know, I think has a foot out the door. So I just, you can't put your finger on it. I think that somebody said, I think it was TJ Eckert after the game said that OU is now undefeated in one possession games. I think they're 6-0. And Iowa State's 2-4. I mean, that's it right there. That is your season right there. That's the difference between being 10-1 and 6-5 now.
I mean, but like
truly,
you said,
truly a couple plays.
The thing that you mentioned earlier about what OU could be, like, Iowa State is what OU could be.
Yeah, no doubt. Baylor's going to hold on to win. That is a gritty win for Dave Aranda's club because I don't think that there is anybody.
They might be f***ed next week, though. I mean, I don't think Gary Bohannon, with that hamstring injury, as bad as it looked, and the screaming that was coming out of him.
Yeah.
They might be going to Texas Tech with their backup quarterback. They might be in a little trouble.
Is that in Lubbock?
I believe so. Well, no. Don't they play that in Jerry World, or is that done? They don't do that anymore.
No, it's in Waco.
Okay.
Or it's a good question, Kerry. I don't know.
I know they moved it to Jerry World for a while. I don't know if it's still there.
On the schedule it just says versus Texas Tech, so it doesn't denote anything. But
by the way, Jared has just pointed out to me that Texas has to be up there. It's most disappointing. Although, you know, I mean, but still, Iowa State was a favorite, like a de facto favorite, not just for the Big 12 championship, but for the college football playoff. I mean, they were top 10 back in the summer.
Yeah, like, I mean, Texas is having a disappointing season, and obviously so. They lose their sixth straight, first time since 1956 that they've lost six games. If we've learned anything over the last couple of weeks, I didn't realize that 1956 for the University of Texas football team was just god-awful. But they didn't have the expectations that Iowa State had. I mean, people had them in their college football playoff at the beginning of the year.
Oh, Texas. I mean, I don't know what happened in that game. I didn't see it all. I just saw a lot of, because I follow like Brian Davis and all those guys.
Well, I mean, if it gives you any
idea. Anwar and all that, like, it just sounded like it was, I think Casey Thompson had an awful, awful day, got replaced by Hudson Card, who I think got hurt, and then Casey Thompson had to go back in.
Come back in. Well, if it tells you anything about Texas's day, I mean, they had Brian Davis covering Texas basketball against Gonzaga last week. He didn't even go to the Kansas game. That's what kind of season Texas is having.
Wow.
They're taking their beat writer off of a Texas-Kansas game, which they lost, by the way, to go cover.
Well, they probably didn't think there was any way that game would be at all.
No.
Interesting.
Not at all. Just pathetic.
Although, you know what? If I gave Bob the choice to go watch OU play the number one team in the country, he'd go.
Yeah, now, and it was a little bit of a different scenario with Gonzaga being as good as they are and that kind of stuff, but Utah's just kicking the shit out of Oregon tonight.
Oh. Well, that's good for OU. It is. I mean,
we can't.
It is. I'm just saying, it is.
I'm going to allow
optimism, Eddie. I'm going to allow everyone to build themselves back up only to be torn down next week. All right?
Oh God. I mean, I'm
here to like, I'm here to sell unofficial 40 hats, all right? That's my goal this week.
they might get embarrassed next week, but they would get, I can't even begin to think how bad it might get.
I mean, it might just be so ugly that it's unwatchable. I mean, can you imagine if it's cold next week to be sitting in the stands to watch a defensive bloodbath?
I mean, it would be kind of fun. It'd be a little bit different than what it used to be.
Here's the thing. Like, I know people were saying 2 weeks ago that OU opened as a favorite. Are they a favorite Monday?
Can I table that for about 3 hours? Because OSU hasn't looked too good down in Lubbock right now.
Ugh, boy.
I mean, it's 3-0. They're about to kick another field goal to go up 6-0, but they've struggled offensively.
This would be the week that you would worry about a letdown, I think.
Oh, sure.
They played so well. Plus, they have Bedlam coming up.
As bad as Tech's been, they're still 6-4 coming off of a win over Iowa State last week.
Tech might be the best team that ever got their coach fired.
It's unbelievable. I did see something that was funny I wanted to bring up because it made me laugh. But Dylan Buckingham's down there at the game down in Lubbock. He tweeted earlier that the Tech announcing team that was suspended for the Big 12 game,
yeah,
or for tonight's game, uh-huh, they're honoring their producer, I guess, during one of the timeouts because uh-huh, he's retiring.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a shirt that says Free Jensen and Harris on it.
So is Level on the call tonight then?
I think he is. But like the awful announcement, like I haven't heard anything that he isn't. But the awful announcing thing, like, included him as part of the group that got suspended. So I don't know. I didn't think that was the case, though.
Yeah, did you see me tweeting about if we name the officials on Twitter, are we going to get suspended by the Big 12 for Bedlam?
So soft. Can't believe that they suspended him for something like that.
Like I said, I don't think they would have suspended him if they hadn't gone after Bowlesby.
I know. Yeah, I said the same thing earlier this week. And probably naming the referees was probably...
Well, naming the referees was number one, but I'm saying the suspension might not have happened if they blamed Bowlesby for being on the take, basically. Accused Bowlesby of it.
It was pretty good, though. You got to admit, like, that's a... You know, like the... Oh, the... like Jake Kemp and... Dan McDowell do like the Homer call of the week. That's like hands down going to be the Homer call of the week. Or I think it was last week. It's pretty good.
I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous because they're doing their job, which is in the heat of a game when you've been doing it that long and you see a lot of weird stuff. Like, we've all seen some weird shit this year, man, with the refs. And you see that and you're just like, I think it's like the rest of the world. Everybody's going a little bit crazy, being cooped up, going on 2 years. And it's just weird shit happens.
Yeah.
People lose their mind a little bit.
No doubt.
But, I mean, it's like that's what they're paid to do. That's why the fans listen to them. They want to hear that kind of stuff. It's just like, did you see the Dorian Thompson-Robinson thing today?
Awesome.
He got...
Absolutely
awesome. He got a person... What was the exact phrasing of it? It was unsportsmanlike conduct.
Unsportsmanlike.
He got unsportsmanlike conduct because he signed a UCLA cap that a fan handed him in from the stands after he scored a touchdown.
Incredible. Absolutely
the
incredible.
The ref literally went over there and shoved him back toward his bench for doing a solid for a fan in the stands. Like,
pretty badass.
How bad a look is that for the NCAA? Like, all the stuff that they've gone through and tried to avoid. Like, you're also... Okay, nobody really gives a shit about football on the West Coast, so let's make it harder for the fans and the players to like each other.
People just suck nowadays. I mean, it just, like, that's what you're going to get angry about? Come on.
It was a fantastic touchdown celebration, though. To grab a hat and sign it as quickly as he did, like he did it all the time. He might have set that up himself, and he might be selling that on eBay.
Say, was it a plan? You think it was a plan?
It's an NIL deal, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, that would be great. And the person that gave him that hat has like a GoPro on, and then they released that video
as an NFT.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing if you found out. I don't know if that would break the rule of that you can't do NIL.
Like during the
team
game.
Activities.
Yeah. Be pretty incredible if it was.
I would like to talk to that person that came up with that plan if that's a fact. Let's see what else they got. Start pulling some shit off here in Norman. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think what you take out of today is that one, I'm not trying to be Lincoln Riley here, they won. They did win, and the defense, I mean, Eddie, you were exasperated with the defense at one point today, so it wasn't perfect.
No, like, there are points, and especially in the first quarter, it was like, I'm kind of sick of this shit. Like, I don't want to watch this anymore. But
you take it as a whole and put it all back-to-back, a hell of a lot more good and even great than bad.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable to me that they can look like they do right now offensively. And then I think it kind of hurts even more from a fan perspective when you look up and CJ Stroud was 32 of 35 for like 6,000 yards today.
Yeah, but Michigan State had the worst secondary in the country.
Oh, they're awful. But you know what, Gary? We've been talking about
this. It shows you that Michigan's probably not that
good. Michigan State's not a good football team.
No. I mean, I think Oklahoma State's better than both Michigan and Michigan State.
Sure.
Cincinnati whooped the shit out of SMU, though, man.
God, what an ass beating. I mean, that thing was, what was it, like 20 to nothing before
27
SMU
to nothing.
Even knew?
Yeah.
And it sounds like Skip or Sonny Dykes is headed to TCU, so like that came out this week.
I didn't even see.
I don't
that.
Know. That
oh, I mean, yeah, thing, I guess I did.
That had,
yeah,
that had an ass whooping written all over it.
Jesus.
By the way, Tech has like 16 yards of total offense right now. Good luck. Good luck.
God. Oh man.
When was the last time you? Oh, you went up to Stillwater, and it seemed like from the outside looking in.
I did not see 2011 happening. I didn't see that happening.
Not the ass. Like,
no.
2013 was tough, but you kind of knew that, like, you're going to have to make it ugly. OSU wasn't necessarily as good as they were defensively as they are this year. I don't know. It just, I don't know. Maybe they can embrace the idea of,
playing spoiler, because that's what they are. I mean, they're going to have to be the spoiler going into it. And yeah, as it turns out, it's like,
I mean, 2013 is probably the 1 year where Oklahoma State felt like
next week you're not going to Arlington.
Yeah, I think 2013 was the year and everybody was kind of like, okay, Oklahoma State's really got a chance here. Cause that was the year that the guy tried to trip, Eric Stryker in the end zone.
Yeah.
Of course, we got pelted by the chicken bones and stuff.
Yep.
And frozen water bottles.
Almost got beheaded by a turkey leg. It was also the year that Kevin Clintworth blocked me on Twitter because I tweeted out the video of the Eric Stryker tripping.
Interesting.
I give him shit every time I see him. I say, Kevin, when are you going to unblock me? And he just laughs about it.
Did you ask anybody down on the field today why Pat Fields blocked you?
No, I don't know. That's so weird. I have no idea. I think it's probably because I said I'm sick of watching him play football.
I had to double check too, just to make sure I wasn't blocked.
Mm-hmm.
If I had been blocked, I would have been like, oh well, he's an unofficial 40 listener.
That's all right.
Look, he had a pick today. He caught a ball
when
out of the air.
When you say that, I want people to think of Major League and what is it? What's the guy's name sitting out in the outfield? That's how I feel when OU does something good this year.
Oh, Randy Quaid or one of the Quaid brothers?
Yeah, Dan. Yeah. That's how I feel. They're gonna blow it. They're gonna blow it.
Too high.
It's 28-0 Utah.
Too far.
21-0. Excuse me.
Al JoJo's going to be a happy man tonight.
Oh, is he all over Utah this week?
No, I'm just saying his Buckeyes path has been cleared.
Oh, Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Screw it. I want Michigan to win next week.
That would be funny. All right. Well, look. We'll deal with Bedlam when it comes on. I'm going to be the football players. Enjoy the win. It was nice to win. It was nice to see that defense play well.
Sure.
None of us will figure out exactly what the hell's going on with the offense. Because if Lincoln Riley can't figure it out, how the hell do you expect us to figure it out?
It is 28-0, by the way, Utah at halftime. The one cool thing that did happen at halftime was they honored the 2000
team.
I'm about to put the video up on the board. It was cool that it looked like it was a really good turnout. There was a bunch of those guys out there. So I thought that was really cool. And you could just tell stuff like that is very sentimental to Bob. It seemed like
it's good
something like that really meant a lot to him. And I think they had a pretty good little get-together last night as well down in Norman.
Yeah, he was talking about – I think Bubba Burcham, I saw some of his stuff on Twitter or on Facebook early this morning. Rocky Kalmus looks great. So, it was great to see. And obviously,
yeah, cool.
Kind of where I cut my teeth with that team. So, really, really cool. All right.
I'm about to put the video up.
All right. That sounds good. That's going to do it. By the way, reminder, Dead Soxy hit me up after the game was over. They said, look, the score thing, we wanted it to be better than that. We don't want to give 28% off. This is a big deal to us every year. And so they wanted to go ahead and extend a special offer, deadsoxy.com. If you go check out the website, they got the Maker Bayfields back in stock. But they are going to give you 40% off using the code SCORESooners. It's all one word, SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, Sooners. And they will give you 40% off with that promo code. Since the Sooners couldn't quite score 40 or 50, they wanted to make sure that you were still going to get a really good deal because they love doing this, especially this time of year. Christmas is coming up. We love their socks. So if you know someone out there, you want to hint to your wife, hey, go get me some Dead Soxies. Use that code SCORESooners and you'll get 40% off your entire order. And
it's maybe the greatest stocking stuffer that you could throw out there.
So good. Especially the new OU stuff. I mean, it's
no doubt
awesome looking.
No doubt.
All right, that will do it. Thanks to Eskridge Lexus and all the boys over there for always being a part of the show as well. Appreciate you guys, and hoping that those assembly lines get going again real soon, and we start getting some cars back in this United States of America, because we need them. Anyway, thanks to Ed Eskridge, to Will, to the entire Eskridge family. Always great supporters, and thanks to you for listening. We'll be back with the unofficial 40, where we can kind of start to get doom and gloomy heading into Bedlam. We'll see what happens, man. It's going to be a weird, weird week.
I'm going to be such a wet blanket this week.
Try not to be.
Well, I'm just prepare yourselves. I still think they need to take lawyers with them. There's going to be an assault.
Well, they were nice enough to credential us, so we appreciate that. So,
oh, I love all the Oklahoma State people up there.
I could see Rex the Chief.
Absolutely, Kyle Briggs, all the boys. It's going to be good to see them all.
All right, that's going to do it. We'll be back again after the Oklahoma State game and back midweek for the unofficial 40. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Sooners win it 28-21, 10-1 on the season. Home finale, or the season finale coming up next, the regular season finale. We'll see if OU ends up in the Big 12 championship or if they end up on the outside looking in. That'll do it. We'll be back again. Thanks for listening.